Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily on tonight's show, Spring Cleaning Your Relationship. How to know if it's time to break up. We'll be giving you some signs. Also, we'll be answering your emails. Topics include what to do about a jealous partner. Should you have sex with your ex? And everyone's favorite topic, squirting. All that and more. Thanks for listening.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. We got a brand new website we launched last month, and you're all loving it. So thank you for visiting the site. You know, every day we're posting new blog posts and videos and things that will help you have better sex and relationships, because that's what I'm all about. And I want to remind you that it's so easy to subscribe to the podcast. We love when you do that. I do two shows a week, and then you easily get the podcast. They'll show up however you listen on your podcast app, and there they are. And it helps us, too, when you subscribe, because we love you. And thanks, everyone, for listening and for being here. And I'm here. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low-net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Anderson. My darling Anderson. It's been a while.
It's been a long time, Em.
I know. I did a little vacation.
What are you doing? Why are you out there cheating?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm not really cheating. But I was with my mom on vacation.
Was that fun?
Yeah. Good time? You know what? I got to say, it was, I haven't had a vacation since the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice just to get away with my mom and to, you know, my mom's super chill. So she's not like, ma, like all over my
stuff. She was on the show. She was in here. I like her.
Yeah. You guys, check out the show with my mom. That was a really popular show.
Did your stepdad go too?
No.
Girls weekend.
It was a girls weekend.
Girls week out.
We went to Cabo and it was fun. I really just needed to relax. And my mom has way more energy than I do. And she was like, let's go sightseeing. I'm like, nope. I'm just sitting by the pool. But
I would guess that it was the other way around.
Exactly.
Knowing you, Em.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. My mom
is
always.
Your mom being going, can I just please relax by the pool, honey? And you're like, no, we have to go see this. We have to do that. We have to do this. And I heard there's a sex lecture.
I used to be like that. Yeah. And I have to say that since I haven't had a vacation in so long, I really needed the distance and the perspective to just step back and reflect and do nothing. I'm like, no, I'm not going shopping, not doing this. And she was cool. And then she chilled out, which was good for her. And I had a lot of breakthroughs.
That takes experience. It's hard to do a good vacation because most of the time if I go on vacation, I come back exhausted. And you don't want to do that. You want to have a nice – you want to experience new stuff and see new stuff for sure, but you got to find a balance. And you got to come back relaxed. Most every single vacation I go on, I come back and I'm like, yeah, work. I'm so tired though from running around on my vacation.
Yeah, see, I did not run around and I was there. I was healthy. I meditated every day. I ran. I, you know,
sounds
took care of myself.
So hippy dippy.
I'm a hippie. What can I say? Yeah. And so that was fun. And then also, I just want to mention that we've had some really good shows. You guys, first of all, our show was, number 6 on iTunes, which is amazing. But there's been some really popular shows. We just posted the 5 bedroom mistakes you might be making. You might love that episode. And then what women really want in bed with the Lady Gang. So check out that podcast. That was fun too. And spring, it's spring. Spring is sprung.
Spring.
Do you know what happens in the spring, Anderson?
Yeah, flowers bloom and like little birdies hatch and bears come out of retirement or hibernation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what happens. And it's a time for renewal, rebirth.
Right.
Cleaning out your closet.
Mm.
Do you do that kind of thing?
No.
Okay. Out with the old and with the new.
You know why I am? Why? I live in California and it's always like spring/summer out here.
That's true.
I don't really notice that seasons pass or come.
No, it is true. My mom's in Michigan. She goes, I'm so excited. When I get home, I can buy winter clothes in the basement and I can bring out my
love
summer
that.
Clothes.
Yeah, you know, I have to do things like I have a number of calendars around my house so that something changes. You know, so I
no,
need
it's
some kind
true.
Of, every time a new season officially comes on board, you know what I do? I got a new collar for Stan. He has four.
I was going to ask you.
Separate collars. He's got a spring. This is ridiculous, but it's true. His spring collar. He's got a winter collar. He's got a fall and what's the other one?
I almost bought him a collar in Mexico, but I didn't know if you'd be down with it. It was really cute.
Four.
Well, I didn't
Black
know
is for winter.
I'm glad I didn't.
Green is for spring. Yellow
I would be
summer.
Offended if he didn't wear it.
Red
Stanley's
is
Stanley's a
for
dog.
Fall.
Check out my Instagram if you want to see pictures or my Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what's funny, though? Every time I get it, so when you call Lyft, do you like Uber?
Yeah, it's a little pink mustache.
Right. When you call Lyft for a ride, do you know that it's connected to your Facebook?
Right.
And the picture they see that pops up, I get in their car, and and you know my Facebook profile is me and Stanley.
Oh, it is? I didn't know that.
Yeah. So it's really funny because I'm always like, you have a cute dog. So every time I get in Lyft, they're like, what kind of dog is that? And I'm like, it's not really my dog.
Oh, you can lie.
I lie. So anyway.
I have a feeling I know where you're going. You're talking about maybe cleaning out the bad relationship
exactly.
in your life.
Exactly. We get rid of possessions and maybe the people who aren't really serving you that well.
Like,
you know,
like orally?
Yeah, if they're not giving you oral sex, that's one of the points.
Out.
It's time to freshen everything up, okay? That's what we're doing here in spring. And there's actually this book that's been crazy bestseller. It's this Japanese book about decluttering. It's a Japanese organization book.
Uh-huh.
And it's, I gotta find the name of it. No. It's better than that. Because
ironically, most people who bought that book, it's probably part of the clutter now.
No.
Here's the book is actually clutter. You see what
you don't know about me?
That's true irony right there.
Can I tell you what?
What's that?
Can I tell you? I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
so keep talking.
You have a hard time doing two things at once. So
It's called, Marie Kondo wrote a book. About Japanese organizing.
Marie Kondo.
The life-changing magic of tidying up. Sounds silly. There's a million books on organizing. But this book, so I'm obsessed with organizing. I don't think you know this about me because I'm actually not organized. Have you noticed?
Yes, I've noticed how disorganized
you are. But I have this dream, like I'll like when I want to relax and chill out or I feel like I need to like de-stress, I like stand in Target and I'm like, if I could just buy those organizers for my files, then everything will be okay.
But then you just walk right by the aisle?
No, I buy tons of organizers.
And then they become clutter.
Clutter.
Yeah.
You should never.
You see the irony?
dude, there's so much irony in my life. But anyway, this is her trick in the book, which is why it actually works, because I actually read the book. Uh-huh. And her thing is, she wants you to, you know, separate everything into piles. Like, these are my T-shirts. These are all my clothes. These right. are all my books. And then you have to hold everything in your hand for a second and say, does this bring me joy? Uh-huh. And if it doesn't, you toss it.
What if it brings you joy right in that moment because you forgot you even had it?
No.
Because I have this issue. My wife's always on my back.
We rationalize and stuff. But if you really think about it, you're like, oh, but it's kind of broken. Or like, my dad gave it to me as a gift, so I got to save it. But you know what? You got to think, they gave it to you as a gift at that moment to make you happy. They don't care if you hang on to the T-shirt from Florida. You know?
Yeah, I got like a guilt thing going. Like, my mom used to pack my lunch when I was in grade school, and like, I didn't like the American cheese, but I'd eat it because I'd picture her putting it on my sandwich, and I'd feel bad that she went through the effort. You know what I mean? So right. I'd eat it anyways.
Yeah, same kind of thing. So it's getting rid of stuff. So, you know, we all go through phases in relationships, and couples experience like up and down, up and downs. But there is a point in a relationship where you have to ask yourself some questions. And if you've been kind of thinking, I'm not sure if this is working for me, we've been fighting for a while, I'm not sure this is the person, I'm going to give you some things to think about. We're going to walk this through here. I was talking about this book to my friend, and she was saying that, you know, and I've read a lot of these different things. They're like, you know, if you want to find a partner, you have to make room. Like, if you're single, which you are not single, but make room in your home so you can welcome that person in. Like, have two nightstands with two lamps and make sure there's space. And I thought about it. And so I live in a very tiny cottage. And one of the problems with my bedroom is that you actually can't. I have no closet, so it's all hanging right. You can't actually get to the other side of the bed. Uh-huh. And my ex, who I broke up with a few months ago, he was like, I can't, it was so hard for him to get into my room, and he didn't like sleeping there. Not just because of that. But he liked my house, but it was like that. And I'm like, oh my God, I was not welcoming you into my home.
And you might be doing that subconsciously too.
Maybe. Yeah. I was like, I don't want you in my bed. But anyway, that's just a whole nother story. But here's some signs that it might be time to let go.
Sayonara.
And again, you guys, let me just say something. This is not a cosmopolitan. Like, you're not going to like check, break up. Like, I have no formula here, but these are just, I want you to start thinking about these
Where
things.
Does this list come from?
My brain.
Your brain. Yeah. From the mind of M. Let's do this. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Now.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Number one, if there's abuse, whether it's emotional or physical. Now, that seems obvious. You often don't know if you're in an unhealthy situation because obviously you're not like, I like to be abused. And so, you know, this feels really, really good. And this is a deal breaker. But again, when you're in it, you don't know that you're in that cycle of abuse.
You're absolutely right. I've talked to a number of girls in my life, Em, and it's shocking how many of them will say without any kind of vein of irony or anything that about how they are abused in the relationship, but they don't speak about it as though it's abuse. Again,
exactly.
Then he starts calling me fat and he's yelling at me, and it's like they're bitching about it, but they don't realize this
exactly.
is hardcore abuse.
You and need that's to why let you this need dude
good... go.
Right, and that's why you need to be able to have friends or people you trust and reflect on. So here's the cycle of abuse. Do you know the cycle of abuse? And if you want to Google this, there's a great, I learned this in the psychology, but there is a cycle. There's like, you know, if you Google it, go to Google Images, you'll see. But it's number one, the tensions build. So, you know, tensions increase. There's a breakdown in communication. You feel like the victim, fearful, that kind of thing.
Right.
Like, it's building.
Walking
building,
on eggshells.
Yeah, exactly. Then there's an incident. Something can happen. Mm-hmm. Verbally, they assault you, or emotionally, or physically, anger. Then there's the reconciliation. Mm-hmm. You make up. It feels really good. You feel like you're getting closer. There's apologies. You give excuses. You deny that it even happened. And then there's a calm after that. Mm-hmm. And you think, oh, you know, this is the fourth stage of it. It's forgotten. There really was no abuse. And you get in that honeymoon phase. You're like, wow, we're healing. We're moving. And then the tension starts building.
Right.
So it's a loop.
But
tensions build, incident, reconciliation, calm.
Can I just, what do you say to this? Every good, healthy relationship does have a cycle where fights do come. If you show me a couple that never gets in any fights for years, that's an unhealthy couple that don't really pay attention to each other.
But
they're living
this,
separate lives.
But I'm talking about abusive
Actual
tensions
abuse,
building.
Yes.
I'm talking about verbal abuse. And I'm going to let you know here some signs that you are. Don't worry. We're getting into this. So if you notice this cycle, might be time to end the relationship. It's never good. And let me tell you also, if you are in an abusive relationship and you get out of one, that's a great time to learn from the relationship and to do some work on yourself.
Reevaluate
because you'll keep
your choices.
Repeating the cycle.
Yeah.
Number two, the fighting gets mean and it starts happening more frequently. So like you just said, Anderson, couples, mm-hmm. they fight.
Yeah.
If you never fight, oh, we're so happy. That's also
You're going to have disagreements.
But we're talking about it gets mean. Yeah. And that's such a you thing. What? It gets mean.
It gets mean.
That's
real
such
mean.
Yeah. And happens more. It happens more and more. Now, John Gottman, he's one of my favorite researchers. Have you heard of the Gottman?
Gottman.
Gottman Institute. So Gottman, he did these amazing studies, and he did these studies over years and years, and he watched couples, and he was able to identify predictors of either a failed or terminally happy, unhappy relationship. He studied couples over a few years period, and now it gets to a point where he can look at them for 5 minutes, mm-hmm. and he can tell if a few things happen that it's not going to last.
Right.
So let me tell you what these are.
I would think that some of these couples had issues because they're like, I really don't like that there's a dude named Dr. Gottman over my shoulder constantly watching us.
Well, no, exactly. That was another issue. No, but I'm telling you, you're going to hear these and you're going to know. It's called the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Ooh, I love this. Tell me more.
Okay. Number one, criticism versus complaints. So a complaint. Specific situation, right? Like your partner failed, you know, you in some way, and you're like, hey, you know, it kind of attacks their, so that's criticism, and then there's complaints. So let me, complaints are okay.
Tell me the difference between,
the
two.
Here's a complaint. Anderson, pretend we're married.
Okay.
God, there's no gas in the car again. Mm-hmm. I'm really aggravated you didn't fill it, and you said you would. Mm-hmm. And I'm really disappointed.
That's a complaint.
Here's a criticism. You never remember anything, Anderson. I told you to fill up the gas. You can't be counted on, and you're a loser, and everything you do is like, I'm never trusting you again.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, you're attacking my moral
criticism.
Fiber there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like who I am.
So couples who are more critical than they are complaining is a problem.
So critical is that
that's the first one.
And it's you're attacking who they are rather to what they did.
Exactly.
A complaint is about what they did.
Specific. You're like, you don't make it into this global, you always forget things. You're like, you know what? This one incident, you said you felt the gas. I was late for work.
Yeah.
That bummed me out.
Right.
Number two, under the four signs that your relationship is probably in trouble.
Yes.
Contempt. Mm-hmm. This is a huge one. Contempt. Now, you know what contempt is? It's when your behaviors, it communicates disgust. It's
disdain.
Like, disdain. Like, it's includes things like criticism. Sneering, sarcasm, like name calling, like you're an asshole, like you roll your eyes, you mock them, you make fun of them. Mm-hmm. That's contempt. And it's hostile.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's the way you treat someone you really
disdain.
Don't like.
Yeah, you're rolling your eyes. It's disrespectful.
It's beyond resentment.
Exactly. It's disrespect. Then you
this is like how I treat coworkers that I have to work with, but I don't want to like have a relationship with them, but I have to interact with them.
Right. It's contempt. And I think we're also going to put this on the website because I'm going to give you, I'm dishing out a lot here, but this is all like, I believe that Gottman is probably one of the greatest researchers on relationships. So I'm glad we're talking about this. Okay. So then there's defensiveness. This is just like the problem. It's not me. It's you. We all know what being defensive is, but this is like your partner is always defensive. They never take responsibility for their own behavior, and they point to something you did, and they complain about you. You're like, listen, honey, I'm really upset. You said that there was, you know, you were going to bring home dinner tonight, and I'm really hungry. They're like, well, you never do this. And, you know, they never can take it in. They can never take feedback. They always point it right back at you.
Can I just say, too, though, about that, Em? A lot of people, that's like a personality disorder, and they're like that across the board with everybody in their life.
Right.
You know what I mean?
But
there are those people that are going to be defensive, whether they're like married to you or you're their child or you work with them.
But that's really, really.
That's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to get anywhere because you understand that this is when the breakdown, I always say, like, you got to communicate. And this is when, I'm not saying, again, you can end it. These are signs that you could work on it. You could say, you know what? My partner is displaying some of these. And this is when you go to therapy and you say, you know what? These are the issues. And then oftentimes when couples therapy works, that's when you learn the tools they give you tools actually in therapy. And then you go home and you practice. You're like, you know, when you say this in that tone, it really upsets me. And then you learn in therapy that you have a sign. That was that tone again. And you learn to kind of change your behavior. Some couples are not able to reconcile that.
Right.
And then also the frequency of fighting. The fighting, like I said at the beginning, more and more fighting. You can't agree on the smallest things. That's
beyond
Gottman's
repair
research.
At that point, right?
Beyond repair. Okay, number three. Now, this is number three of the big signs. Mm-hmm. That was just part number two. There's no trust. Any foundation or iota you had of trust is just completely gone.
Right.
Maybe someone cheated. You know, it could be from past relationships, too. It could be childhood trauma. You're always accusing your partner of cheating. And you just cannot build the trust. And it doesn't matter. There's insecurity. There's jealousy. And this, as you know, if you've been in a relationship like this, both parties will suffer. The problem with trust is people think that, well, I keep reassuring my partner. I keep telling them, you know, I'm not cheating. Or if I cheated once, you know, I won't do it again. This is another case where In most scenarios, couples on their own cannot rebuild trust without the help of a third party. Mm-hmm. And that is a therapist. Because there's so much broken down and already. And the problem is, if there is an indiscretion, like let's say that gets founded on, you know, someone did right. cheat, for example. Oftentimes, the person who was the cheater doesn't want to talk about it.
Right.
Like, it's done. It's over. Let's move on.
It's shameful. And
the problem is that the person who was cheated on,
they don't get
they
closure.
They need closure. Yeah. They need to hear. Sometimes they need to hear every detail, and you need to be patient with them. And whatever the case may be, these couples can't get past it.
When the relationship's been damaged that bad, it's like the equivalent of having a broken leg that you need to go to the doctor and get it reset. You
exactly.
need to go to a therapist to get your relationship reset if it has any hopes of ever right. being healthy again.
Now, early on when this happens, if you notice it in you're in a relationship where, you know, there's a lot of trust.
I've been in relationships for like 2 weeks where we hit all of these milestones.
Right?
Yeah.
And how'd they go?
Sex is awesome, but then
right.
Yeah, everything else is
and
so
you know,
chaotic.
We always hear from people who are like, my partner's really jealous, it's not working out. Guess what? That's not going to go away, and it's probably doesn't have anything to do with you.
And the jealous partners are usually cheating. That's why they're jealous.
Well, that's interesting. That's yeah. true. A lot of times when your partner's could be projecting. And early on, if you catch this, you can work it through with therapy and try to rebuild it. But sometimes, point of no return. You know, if you've given it your best, you're not going to be able to rebuild the trust. Game over.
And sometimes it's not worth it unless you got like kids or, you know, or it's the first time you've ever been able to find somebody that you could work with.
Exactly.
But a lot of times it's just like, get out. Get
yeah.
out.
Yeah. Because you're not, if you're not working on the trust, it's not just going to magically go away.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Number four, there's no sex in the relationship, but that we all know sex waxes and wanes in relationships.
Sometimes ebbs you have and flows.
More ebbs and flows, waxes and wanes. But this is when you've tried. Like, you've actually made an effort. You've tried to talk about it. You tried to work on it. And it just dies out. And this is not about sex drive and libido and you just had kids. Sometimes you just don't want to have sex with your partner anymore.
You become a roommate.
Yep. You become roommates. You're not interested. You find that you're really attracted to other people. You're making lots of excuses not to get intimate with your partner. And like I've always said, if you're not having sex with your partner and it's gone on too long, you are roommates. And you're not lovers.
Right.
Okay?
But you're comfortable and you can't imagine your world without that person. Especially if you share a space a lot of the time. People don't like change. And you're going to have to make a massive change and have a different living space and have a different roommate or maybe no roommate. And that's scary.
Right.
But you only have one life as far as we know.
Exactly.
Can't be wasting it.
And I've told a story, actually. I have a friend a few years ago. She was older than me, but she was married. When I started my show, of course, so I talk about sex with everybody. And she was like, you know what? They'd been together like 15 years at the time. A woman I work with, she's, Emily, I don't care about sex. He's a great dad. We got two kids. I've had enough sex in my life. She thinks she was like 40 at the time. She's like, mm-hmm. I've had enough sex.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, something's messed up here. You've not had enough sex. And now they're divorced. Turns out there was an affair. And if you find yourself rationalizing away,
she had enough sex with him.
Well, right.
That's
exactly.
what you meant.
So what I'm saying is, if you're rationalizing the fact that, you know what? We're best friends. It's great.
I could see that, though, especially once you got kids and you're older. 40s might be a little bit young, but if you're like 50 or 60 and you're doing that, twilight years, you know what I mean?
That's, yeah, you make your own decisions.
We like going on cruises together.
But I'm saying, you know, you still want to be, but it's not working. Finally, and you don't see a future together. Because here's the thing. What? Have you been with someone where they're just like planning trips without you, or you close your eyes and think, God, I wouldn't want to meet my parents, or I can't want kids with this person.
Yeah, yeah. I've been in relationships that lasted like 6 months after this thought went into my head, Emily. We were both hungry. We were going to go get something to eat. And I'm like, that's like a 10-minute drive to that restaurant. I don't want to sit in the car with this person for 10 minutes to get to the restaurant. And
exactly.
I was with that person for 6 months after that.
You don't even see a future dinner with them.
I don't even see the future drive. The drive seems like just mind-bogglingly numb.
Exactly. So that's a future. Also, if you feel like you're planning your summer vacation, but you're not thinking of them, and also your future plans don't line up. Like, you know that you want to settle down in the suburbs with 5 kids and your partner's like, can't wait, just wants to live in the city. Like, these are all important
things. People change, though. People change.
Well, you know what?
But you're right.
If you're with someone for a while, and I'm not saying, again, you guys, I'm not like, if something's happened, like I'm not take sex with Emily. I'm going to do a little disclaimer here. I'm not taking responsibility for your relationship ending. If it was wrong, we will not pay for your therapy. I'm just telling you, these are some things that might get the wheels turning.
Let me ask you this, Em.
Yep.
You personally, have you ever been in a relationship for, cause I know you're monogamous. You're a serial monogamous there for a while.
I was.
Right?
Yeah.
Were you ever in a relationship that you felt like it was really bad and you were, you knew inside you were done with it, but you didn't want to give up on it because you'd already been in it so long?
Yeah, a lot of reasons. I think that there was comfort. I used to joke that and it was actually true, but it's been a while now, that I used to spend half my relationships trying to get out of them.
But no, I've been with him for 2 years now. I don't want to throw that away.
No, I never thought that.
Okay, because I hear that a lot, especially from the ladies, and it's really not the wisest way to go about something.
No, because, right.
It's like if you've had a bad stock and you've been losing money for 2 years, you don't stick with it. You know?
Exactly. You got to know when it's time to fold them.
Yeah.
When to fold them.
But you've never done that. Okay, good.
No, I haven't done that. Okay, so, and here's some follow-up questions, you guys, because I don't want you to just be like, oh, that's check, check, check. First, think about this. What are you afraid of if you end it?
Spiders.
Afraid of being alone?
Oh.
Afraid. Here's the other thing. How do you all do this? I'm never going to find anyone else.
Yeah.
Right?
That might be the case
for some
people.
Best thing that ever happened to me. No, I don't know. I don't think that's the case for people.
I've seen some people.
Well, they're probably could use a lot of contempt.
You ever see somebody like on a reality show and then you find out they have kids and you're like, oh my God, they actually had sex with someone? Who would ever have sex with that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
That was mean.
That is mean. You might fear that no one's going to love you. You're unlovable. And then think about where are these fears coming from? How real are they? Or are you using them just as an excuse to settle for good enough? Sometimes we use these excuses. We're like, I don't want to deal with it. And I know a lot of people who are in relationships who eventually, and some stay together forever and some eventually get divorced, but they literally in their mind, they're like, I can't imagine being without this person because there will be no one else. But right. I'm telling you that that's just a fear that is not true.
Especially
if you
want
to find someone else. There's so many people.
There's always
Tinder.
Yeah. There's always somebody. Now, there's always somebody else at your level out there roaming the streets looking for somebody as well.
Yeah, that is not right. That's just a fearful thought. The other thing is, am I in love with this person or am I in love with the person I wish they were? Mm-hmm. Do I think this person is going to change?
Right.
If they only change, then blank. Once they stop drinking, once they lose weight, once they stop accusing me of beating me, whatever. That was morbid. But, you know, then it'll be great. Newsflash, people. People do not change unless they want to change. So do not ever date or marry on potential.
Right.
Okay.
Which happens, I think, more often than not.
What?
I think that people get married thinking that things are going to change.
Right. And people like to change. People like projects. They like fix-me-ups.
Especially
like
you ladies.
You did as well.
Oh, I did a lot, yeah. But I'm kind of like a chick at heart.
You are like a chick. Also, the last one is this relationship bringing out the best of me? So, when you're in a healthy relationship, you want to feel like this is your best self.
Right.
You know, you make each other better. You build each other up. You, working towards the same goals, or they support your goals. But if you feel like your relationship is bringing you down and, your partner's, holding you back from things that are really, really important to you, constant criticism and negativity. How are you feeling in the relationship? You want to feel like your best self. And I have to say that I was in a relationship not too long ago, in the last few years, where I realized, and this is something that's new for me, that I felt like, God, that I had some insecurities coming up and things that I just feel like, God, this person really isn't supporting me. And I think they were a little jealous. And it was God, I'm actually feeling bad. I've never felt. And it's funny because I have these four best girlfriends from college and they came out to visit me in San Francisco and they're like, you know what, Em? And I've never seen you worry about this thing. You're worried about things that are not like you. And I realized I was allowing my partner to have this effect on me. And sometimes it's really great if you people who know you and love you and trust you to actually listen to them.
Right.
And, you know,
it takes guts too. It takes balls. Because what if you ended up marrying that guy? And that guy, a lot of women in your position, or men too, would turn around and be pissed at the friends for saying anything about it.
Right. And I'm telling you, here's the other thing. I don't think that every friend knows the best, but you know who those people are.
Yeah.
Who are your good friends.
You got to have people to keep you grounded.
Exactly.
Show you what's really happening.
Exactly. And then finally, have you given it your best? Have you really tried? Because this can't be just one thing happened and you're out, but you tried therapy, you tried talking about it, and you know when you're done. Okay. So, this is not going to apply to everybody. And if there's kids, of course, there's more to consider. But I want you to really think about these things.
Because it's springtime.
Happy spring. Woo! That's enough. Okay. But now we got that out of the way. I just want you to throw out some old t-shirts and throw out some old relationships. Or stay with them. Maybe this is refreshing.
It's also the time of year that if you have a house cat, they're going to be bringing in little baby birds because it's springtime. It's very upsetting. Yeah, it's just like my backyard is just like a, it's a wild safari.
Do you have a cat?
Yeah, I have a cat. I have a house cat. But I let her outside. She goes outside, then she brings things in. She had an alligator lizard in her mouth a couple days ago.
An alligator?
And she was meowing with it in her mouth. Like looking at it, so proud.
Did you take pictures?
No, I just screamed out, Kitty, no, Kitty. Kitty runs, and then she drops the alligator lizard.
Was it dead?
No, it's roaming around my house.
Because I know that you'd probably take it to the vet or something.
No, I took it out front. I let it go.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and be right back. Okay, so I would like to get into some emails.
Email time.
Thank you, everybody, for emailing me. Feedback@sexwithemily.com. I love hearing from you.
Are there links on your site, too, about all the stuff that you just cited there?
Yeah, exactly. There are. We're going to post all this from Gottman. John Gottman. And I think this is going to be really helpful for you guys just to take a look at it, because I know I just ran through a lot, but I think it's a really important for you to take into consideration.
Chances are.
And maybe none of these apply to you.
If you are taking the time to go to the website and look at it further, to take a look at your own relationship, chances are there's a reason you're doing that, right?
Good point,
chances
Anderson.
Chances are there's something there that's bugging you.
I once heard this advice, relationship advice, and I don't think this is for everybody, but they're like, you know, my friend kept saying, God, I just don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure if we should be together for like a year. And my friend turned to her and said, if you don't know,
right,
you know.
Kind of like the orgasm adage, right? Like, I think I might have had one. If you think you had an orgasm, you didn't have one.
Exactly. You're going to know. Okay, emails. So I love when you include your name, where you're listening from, and how you listen, and your age in the email. Oh, and this email I really liked because, you know, we answer a ton of sex questions on the show, but I also like answering, of course, we answer relationship as well. So this was an interesting one that we hadn't gotten in a while. Hey, Emily, I'm a big fan of your podcast and iTunes, and I'm in need of some third-party advice. I recently moved with my boyfriend of nearly 6 years. We live in San Francisco and just made the jump to the burbs. We lived in San Francisco. We got our new apartment on very short notice, but I had a previously scheduled doctor appointment in the city, so I figured I'd take advantage and sleep in the old apartment to make it easier on myself. I pulled the sheets off the bed in the morning, knowing that we'd be back in a few days to pack the remainder of his items and clean the place. We returned to the apartment a few days later, and I immediately toss the sheets in the wash, not thinking anything of it. My boyfriend apparently found this behavior highly suspicious because he's now accusing me of cheating.
Right.
He's latched onto the fact that washing those damn sheets was the first thing I did when we got there. I absolutely did not cheat on him. Trust has never been an issue for us, even though we're frequently apart. I suspect this is part of a bigger issue, and he is second-guessing our moving in together. But how do you get someone to address the actual issue instead of throwing out hurtful accusations? Do you think he's inventing reasons to break up? I'm really hurt by this, and I was really excited to be taking these next steps in our relationship, and I so appreciate your take on it. Thank you, Jessica, 31.
Good luck, Em. That's like 9 different directions you can go there.
Well,
yeah.
Here's the thing, Jessica. I love this question, again, because like I said, we don't get a lot of these issues, not at least not lately. I don't know why. This one seems like interesting to me because there's a lot going on here. Okay, you've been together 6 years, and that's kind of a long time if this is your first blow-up, like, out of the blue about trust and jealousy, right?
Yeah.
6 years, things are good, and all of a sudden it's the sheets, right? Not a great sign, but there's two possibilities I've broken it down to. But, you know, of course, Anderson, I'm open to your feedback. One possibility. He is the one who's cheating or thinking about cheating, like we talked about earlier, and he's projecting. And I'm sorry, but this is common. I hate to break the news to you. For one person who's actually up to no good to kind of call out their partner because they're feeling guilty, either for feelings that they have about cheating or they actually have cheated. I hope this is not the case. I really hope it's not the case, Jessica, but it's worth looking into. Option two. He's kind of freaking out about taking the next step. It's kind of like how people get cold feet before they get married.
Right.
And he's creating drama to hide the bigger issue that he's fearful of moving in together. So that's what you said. You said, I'm wondering if he's trying to create an issue. And I think that's what it is. And if that is the case, you can work through that together. It's totally normal to have fear, right? Anderson, when you were getting, did you have cold feet? You still have cold feet? Just kidding. But wait, I mean, was
no,
it
by always... the time I finally, I'm a bad example, because by the time I finally, I was like homeless when my now wife and I finally moved in together. I was like a rolling rock. I was just staying in a different place every night.
Really?
Didn't pay rent anywhere. I was a nomad. I loved that lifestyle. It was a fantastic lifestyle. But by the time I actually moved in with her, it's like I knew that it was.
You were
time.
Ready, okay? Yeah, but you had friends who were like getting ready to get married, and they were like, "Oh God, oh,
absolutely!"
Right.
I get the cold feet. I can put myself in this guy's mindset, and also, in fairness to him, that is kind of a weird move. If I had any doubts about, even though it's been 6 years, but if I had any doubts, or I thought maybe she was cheating before this, or I had any issues, and then I saw the sheet move, that is a weird move.
Okay, that's an interesting guy perspective. I could see that as well. But I don't think that I would, if I was in a healthy, stable relationship and my partner like was like, I thought they were going back to clean everything up, let's wash these sheets. But I can see what you're saying.
My wife washes the sheets all the time.
I do too, like every 3 days.
I don't even think twice about it. Usually it's because one of the dogs puked on it. And I don't even think twice
Stanley
about it.
Stanley doesn't puke.
Yeah, he does. Oh, we have three dogs in the bed. Okay, one of them almost always pukes.
But okay, that's a good point. So that you're right. Okay, so that could be a point. But she's telling him that she's not. Okay, I believe that she's not. So regardless of the source or what happened, you've got to have the conversation. You know, you need to sit down, tell him you love him, you're excited that you're in this relationship and that you're moving in together. But these accusations are hurtful and they're actually untrue. And unless he's willing to work with you, the accusations and the mistrust is not going to get you anywhere.
What about asking him like point blank too? Like, are you doing this because you're freaking out about moving?
Yeah.
In?
You know, ask him. Say, you know, I had a hunch. And here's the other thing. You don't want to be accusatory. You want to be, babe, I've been thinking about this. Like, I'm just wondering, like, how are you feeling about us moving in together? Could this be bringing it up? And he can't just shut this down. I mean, he's got to be honest and willing to communicate. And if he wants to stay together and, you know, he's like, I want to stay together, but I can't quite get my feelings out, then you might be a great candidate for therapy. But if he just keeps resisting and resisting and there's these roadblocks, you know what? You might not put the sheets back on the bed.
Best case scenario, though, you guys work through this.
I hope so.
You end up getting married. And when you're old and gray, you still have the little inside funny joke every time she washes sheets.
Yeah, Anderson, that's so positive. That's so glass half full. Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. Hi, Emily. I would love to get your thoughts on being sexually active with your spouse while separated. My wife and I have recently separated, but have agreed to not see other people until we figure out if we want our marriage to continue. I feel that
that's like the worst limbo ever.
I feel that being actively intimate with each other will be fun, as the day-to-day husband and wife thing, you know, we've struggled with won't be a factor. Thanks, Thomas.
What?
There's
so,
some. Yeah.
Wait, they're going from married to
okay,
F-buddies?
So here's my problem with this email is that it's, oh,
that's
I want
what
to
they're
announce
doing,
this.
Right?
Yeah. Here's the thing. They're married. I don't know why they're separating. They're taking a little break.
Yeah.
They're moving to separate apartments. And he's excited because I'm assuming the sex has waned and they've got issues that, wow, we can like date again and we can relive that honeymoon phase. Yeah. And won't that be great? And he wants to know, is that okay?
That's half glass full right there.
Now, yeah. And she's promising. They're saying, I'm not going to sleep with other people. And, you know, mm-hmm. Is it a good idea? Well, here's the thing. As long as you guys are truly like working on the relationship while you're not together and you're not just like having sex and like falling in love again, right. This euphoric recall, remembering all the great things, I think that it's okay to have like physical intimacy. Like, I think that that's totally fine. Helps you reconnect. And oftentimes when you do have space from a partner, not necessarily moving out, but you take a trip away from each other, that can build the intimacy again. You can reconnect. You get the sexual desire back because, you know, oftentimes when you...
Absence
makes the heart grow fonder. And distance and space could bring that excitement back. But however, if you're just having sex and enjoying that new honeymoon ride, that second swing at the honeymoon, but you're not working on any of those issues, and then you get back together because the sex is so good.
Same old thing.
It's going to be a repetition of what you happened. It's a trap, okay? So we all crave the newness, and it's just not sustainable over time in any relationship. I'm here to tell you, after 2 years or so in a relationship, it's biology. You're going to need to work on the sex. But just like, I want to make this very, 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 very clear if I have not.
Very clear.
Just like trauma, issues do not go away unless you work on them.
Unless they're treated.
You got to treat them in therapy. Clearly, you guys have come to a standstill where you could not work on them. So just taking physical space and not taking that space of, you know, mentally and emotionally working on it, it's not going to heal it.
Right.
Okay, squirting.
I thought that the squirting was going to end up being the sheets one.
You did.
I thought she was going to be like, yeah, and that's why I had to wash them, because I masturbated that night without you, and I squirted all over my sheets. That's why I'm washing them.
I could understand why you'd make that connection.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be two birds right there.
Hamley, huge fan of you and your podcast. Also, when you're on Loveline, I listen to your podcast every morning trying to catch up.
What is Loveline?
Loveline. It's a show that I do here on the radio. So my question is, how to get my wife to be more into letting me use the magic wand on her to make her squirt? Uh-huh. We've done it twice now. And the second time, she seemed more into it for her. But her biggest problem with it is she thinks she's peeing when she orgasms.
Yes.
I've argued with her and show her articles that say it isn't urine, but she's dead set on thinking it's full-blown urine. Mm. Thus not wanting me to use the wand to make her squirt. And I love seeing her do it. Is there anything you can do to help us better understand what squirting really entails? Please help us because I know she really likes doing it, but she's afraid or embarrassed by it and thinks she's peeing. Thanks for the help, and I love the show. Bob. Okay, there's been so much focus on this squirting debate. It's like more than the presidential debate.
It's so disgusting, but just have her eat some asparagus.
It is not disgusting. Here's the thing. Is it pee? Is it not pee? It's a debate. Listen, if it feels good to her and you've expressed how much turns you on, she shouldn't be worrying about if it's pee or not because, you know, does it matter? There's too much emphasis on this goddamn fluid cotton. But let me tell you, you want to know what is squirting? Let me break it down
for you. Oh, no. You going to talk about the Bartholin's gland and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's so unsexual. It makes something so great, so scientific-y.
Small amounts of thick fluid sometimes are elicited, secreted during the female orgasm. It happens. And women who squirt, they're simply learning to release one set of muscles while contracting the bladder so they can release a little bit of urine.
A little.
During orgasm. So when you're having sex and you have stimulation, what happens is the female ejaculate gets mixed in with the vaginal fluids and lubrication and semen and pre-ejaculatory fluid and post-ejaculate. So it's a whole mess of things. I don't want to say mess.
It's a cocktail of
sexual excretions. Mm. And there is significant proof that the origin of the fluid is the bladder. And there is some chemical composition that is urine. There's also the periurethral glands, ducts that also have some fluid in there that is not urine, okay? So bottom line, again, if she likes it and it feels good and you like it, what is the big friggin' deal if it's urine or not? But if she does not want to squirt, for whatever reason, you cannot pressure her and make her do it because she won't want to do it. She won't want to come around. No woman on this planet likes being pressured into a sexual act. And then it's going to lead to other things, other issues, other problems.
No woman.
Sex is messy, people. Sex is messy, but it's also beautiful. So just get over it. I hate this debate. No, but I understand the debate. And also, here's another thing. Like, I would say squirting's a new anal. But I need a new fucking thing for squirting because when I first started the show, anal was a new blowjob. But squirting with porn, people see it all the time. Mm-hmm. They want to see their partner squirt. A lot of men do.
Right.
So that's the thing. I'm getting the questions. I'm answering it because
pegging?
I love you.
Can pegging be
pegging
the-
is the new squirting, maybe, when a man gets anally penetrated.
Yeah, you love that so much. I see it in your eye.
Can I be honest? I'm going to be honest
with you.
Well,
you're not very sexually adventurous.
Sex?
You haven't really done much.
I've never pegged a man. Mm-hmm. I've never worn a strap-on and pegged a man.
You haven't lived till you have.
And I
every
own strap-ons.
Every day is just a waste of your life.
I'm so busy.
Till you've done- I have no time for pegging.
No time for pegging. It's on my schedule. Put it on my schedule. So that's what we have time for. But this is what I want to say, Anderson. You know how y'all write me feedback at sexwithemily.com? Super easy now. If you go to the Ask Emily page on our site, you can easily just send it right there through the site. You just go to Ask Emily. Boom. Your email gets right sent to our inbox. It's really helpful, again, when you subscribe, but also when you review us on iTunes and you give us 5 stars.
Beautiful. Makes Em feel good about herself.
No, it also helps so I can keep doing the show.
Right.
My goal is to do the show. I'd love to do it every day.
Yeah.
I used to.
I don't know why you wouldn't. You're kind of doing your head, right?
Every single day.
You're always Emily.
Taking notes, doing things. It is my life. And I love it for 10 plus years. Okay, Anderson, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.